Hello, this is Dennis Wing, and today we're talking about the book called Effortless Mastery by Kenny Werner. It's a fantastic book, and at some point I hope you read it. But in the meantime, my summary, my little notes to myself, I actually didn't make this file for you, my students. I originally made it just for me to remember the parts that I needed to remember in the book. Hopefully that'll serve you, and most importantly, the meditation exercises will serve you very well. But I believe an intro from me is somewhat in order here, because I want to just give a little perspective. I think the audience that that book is written for is mostly like for music students in like a university, you know, who are focused on becoming professional musicians and perhaps are a little bit obsessed about their you know, how good they sound and everything. And in particular, he's writing for jazz students. So the book is still relevant for you if you're A, not focused on becoming a professional musician, and B, not a jazz student. You know, all that the obsessiveness with which we which many of us play music is a universal topic. It applies to anyone. But I believe a little perspective is in order here, and that's why I'm making this intro. Or perhaps it's written for people like me who are, you know, professional musicians, but not on a, you know, like a national level or certainly not an international level at this stage in my career. You know, I'm a local great musician and teacher. And, you know, certainly there are times where I obsess about my own playing, so you know there's that too. But whatever level you're at, the principle of not having to be great can apply. Now this leads me to the next point, which is the one of the mantras he uses is "I am a master." So if you're, let's say, if you're only a beginning student, that may seem a little far-fetched for you, and your subconscious may have trouble believing that. But it doesn't mean you can't be a master student. I mean, you can be a master of whatever you're a master of right now, you know? So you can reword it if you like, or just take it into account that, you know, being a master doesn't necessarily mean a master of your instrument. It could just be a master of yourself, a master of your own attitude. You know, learning to be a master student could mean simply, you know, accepting where you are, knowing where you want to go, and doing your part to have patience and practice, you know. You know, I believe a master student would be someone who is completely at ease with where they are and knows where they're going and is sort of self-driven yet at peace. Self-driven and content at the same time. You know, Eckhart Tolle said it best in his book, a wonderful book called Stillness Speaks. And I have that audio if you ever want a copy, just let me know. I have The Power of Now and many of his books. He is probably my favorite author. But anyway, he sums it up by saying, you should have goals. I'm paraphrasing, of course. You should have goals, but you have to realize that none of your goals are means to an end. Like, there'll never be a thing where, okay, when I finally reach goal X, I will be happy. That never happens, because by the time you reach goal X, you'll have other goals in mind, and the circumstances will be different. You know, that same thing happens with money. People say, well, once I, you know, get $1 million, I'll be happy. That'll never happen, because you'll have other problems by then. That's what all the books say. And the same is true in music here. So be content with where you're at. He says, the doing of the goals is fulfilling of in and of itself. They're not a means to an end. So allow yourself to have goals and be working towards something, but be at peace and be content right in this moment. And Kenny Werner talks about this sort of at the end of the book. He talks about there was a dinner that he went to where lots of great musicians were, lots of great internationally successful musicians were sort of like talking big picture about what does it all mean. And it varied quite a bit from musician to musician. In the end, he says, you know, nothing really matters in terms of outward success, you know, until and unless the reason you play music is for your own devotion and what I use the word devotion. I don't remember which word he used, but you know, playing for your or playing as a gift to your higher self, you know, God, if you wish, or your highest potential, or you know, the divinity that permeates the whole universe, whatever you like to use. You know, that in and of itself will give you the highest sense of purpose. All right, the third point I want to make is about how he says about becoming a master at one thing. One of my favorite quotes in the book is, your favorite artists, your favorite bands, and your favorite musicians haven't become masters at every single thing in all your books. They've only become masters at a few things, and they've made a career out of them. And I think that's highly true. However, this may or may not be relevant for you big picture in the moment. As you know, most of you, I teach what's called the geometric method, where you're working on several things at once. Because again, this the audience that he's referring to is like a more advanced, you know, music student who has a solid foundation. You know, he or she has a solid foundation in you know, rhythm and scales and chords and, you know, reading music and etc. And then after that, they can specialize. So this is what I would say to you right now. There's not a contradiction here. It's not like, okay, first, you know, you have to learn all the basics and then you can try and master one or two things. You can practice mastery right now. So let me explain this. You can work on several different areas at once and build your foundation. And that you're not actually becoming a master at any one of those things yet, right? You're becoming proficient at many things at your stage of the game. However, you can also practice mastery by isolating one of those things and going into the space of total love and acceptance, as he explains in the notes, and then, you know, practicing only that thing. You know, you take like the thing that gives you the most stress, the thing you like least about your learning, about the content of whatever you're studying with me right now, you know, and take that thing and do these exercises with regards to that in step four, that is. So I hope this makes sense. But so there's no contradiction there. You can be a geometrically progressing student where you're not becoming a master in any one area. You're becoming proficient in many different areas at the same time, and take the ideas of mastery and apply it to any one particular thing just right now on your way along. I know I've just repeated myself, but that's an important point. Hope this makes sense. As far as how to do that, he mentions what's called a practice diamond. At the top of the diamond is effortlessness. And then on the other three, at the other three corners are play the example at tempo, play the entire example, and play perfectly. The idea here is that effortlessness, which is at the top of the diamond, will always be maintained. So always play music from the space of total love and relaxation, your inner being, like he describes, and then pick two out of the three only. So let's just say, for example, you're gonna play the music at tempo, and you're gonna play the entire example. Well, if that's the case, you have to, in order to maintain your effortlessness, you can't be worried about playing it perfectly. So just maintain your effortlessness and play the entire example at tempo, period. And don't worry about playing it perfect. Another example, you play it perfectly and you play it at tempo, but you're certainly not going to play it the entire example. You might only play just one bar. You know, maintain your effortlessness, play the music at tempo, and play it perfectly. And if you can't play it perfectly, then shorten it down to just two notes or even one note, you know. And, you know, there's always something you could do. So that's another example. One more example. You maintain your effortlessness and you play the entire example perfectly, but you don't play it in time. You take as long as you darn well please to maintain that effortlessness, play every note exactly, and slow it way down. This is a big one. I always ask students to slow things down. But my favorite combination for most students is to pl- play it at tempo, not play it perfectly. I'm sorry, play it at whatever tempo you can play it at, not the original tempo. This is an important one. The most common when I give a lesson is you play it at a tempo, but not the tempo. And you play the entire example, and you play it effortlessly, but you're not going to play it perfectly, right? And then you just kind of make mental notes of where you didn't play it perfectly, and you can always go back and change the aspect of the diamond, which aspects of the diamond you're using to practice those examples. Does that make sense? So, but in general, the book is about not obsessing about how good you sound and just having fun with music. It's only music after all. You know, it's not life or death. And I wish you well. I hope these meditations serve you well. And so I welcome your feedback on them. I used them for many years, and I'll probably start getting back into them now. All right, have fun.